Hey, this is Jeff Livingston, author of Now Is Gone, with my co-author, Brian Solis. Brian.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here to do a series of podcasts, this being the first, on Now Is Gone and some of the principles behind the book, the first of which is the audience versus the community. Brian, do you want to intro the audience versus the community?
Yeah, I'm happy to. You know, this is a really interesting concept that I get. You know, every time I seem to talk about it, it gets the greatest amount of pushback, because it's so natural in public relations or communications in general to just say, who is our audience? Who does the target message need to hit? And it's so common in every single conversation that everybody has before issuing a press release that almost everybody forgets along the way that in the new realm of social media, you know, who is the audience, really? I mean, is there one collective, be-all, global audience that your one news release is going to matter to in the same way that it would matter if you were to just dissect that press release and parse it out into different portions to the different communities of people out there that would need to hear things in different ways? And that sort of has been the premise of the audience versus community thing, which, as we all know, can get pretty deep.
Yeah, it's funny. I have the same experience when I'm out talking with business folks and you say, audience isn't really a great word anymore. They just kind of look at you like you're crazy and they don't get it. But, I mean, you're right on with that. And, of course, you were the one that turned me on to the great Jay Rosen article on the audience. And really what it does seem to typify to me is the one-way relationship versus the two-way relationship, where we have audiences which are talked down to or talked to but have no way of responding. For example, if you're at a movie theater or a concert or even a radio broadcast, newspaper is another example, versus a community which has interaction and two-way conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you just like you had just said in terms of a concert, right? I mean, concerts have audiences, right? And that band takes the stage and they are rocking out to a group of how many thousands of people that are there to specifically hear that music, right? But when that music is broadcast originally, before they've ever even heard it, it's not being broadcast to them directly, right? I mean, where are these people, right? I mean, radio stations are going out there, music stores are going out there, and they're hoping to hit masses at the same time in order to sort of identify those groups of people that are going to really be, you know, into that scene and into that music, right? So the idea is, how do you find those people? Who are those people? How do you reach them, right? Because otherwise, you're just spamming everybody with music as a way of just hopefully collecting the few that like it along the way. And press releases have, in some cases, really just been a blast mechanism that sort of mirror a billboard strategy, right? Just throw it up and hopefully it means something to certain people that see it.
Absolutely. And it's funny because one of the things that you're a big proponent of is, of course, the social media release, and I love them too. The discussion around that about storyboarding and the conversation aspects of it. And you're right when you say that the social media release should have a conversation aspect about it, so it is a community document.
Yeah, I think, you know, otherwise, it's, you know, I guess that was the power of the social media release. And I'll tell you, it's the social media release that forced me to really evaluate audiences versus community. Before social media, I was really talking about groups of people, but I probably, to be honest, you know, would have slipped audience a couple of times. And, you know, I think it was actually Stowe Boyd who reminded me of that Jay Rosen piece, actually, and really just kicked everything up a notch, because what ends up happening is, if you post a document, just whatever it is, whether it's a social media release, multimedia release, press release, its channels, its structure, and its intention, right, are all driven by different elements that are ultimately going to determine which channels it goes to reach certain people, right? And the one thing that I had noticed along the way of the social media releases, as I've been experimenting with it, is that it's got to be more than building blocks, right? It's got to be more than just giving bloggers and journalists the, you know, the items they need in a way that they need it. I mean, that trust me, just doing that is huge leaps and bounds beyond the way the press release is, you know, today and in the past. But facilitating conversations or pointing back to conversations or running three kinds of different releases in order to just get the dialogue going, but having a place to host it is what makes the social release social. Because I've noticed in my experience, just by putting links to social areas, it's pretty rare where people will go and start conversations from a delicious link. But I have seen that the experiments where you, in coming back to the audience versus community, I've gone extreme, you know, where I've put several different press releases telling the same story in different ways to different groups of people throughout, you know, the main market as well as the long tail, where it all gets hosted around one social media release that's the hub. And it has facilitated really great conversations because I took the extra time to go out and tell a story in a way that mattered to different people. But I'll tell you, I had to do that whole process originally for free because there's just no company that's going to believe that that's just the way they need to do it. I mean, that, just think about how that multiplies work and buy-in from just one standard press release and then putting it out on a wire.
Right. No, it's interesting. I mean, I think the culture, too, within corporations is just to put out that press release and then spam as many people and see what happens. I don't even really think that they care about the conversation. And that's certainly an issue that they're going to face as they move into social media marketing in general, is that the community, if you would, doesn't like being treated like an audience. They want to be able to talk back. They want to be able to add their two cents, and they have every right to. I mean, after all, you're trying to sell to them, and any buyer wants to communicate back exactly what they need and want.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And hell, they're going to do it with or without you, right? I mean, they have the power to talk about your brand in ways that you just can't control, no matter how much you just don't believe that. And the interesting thing is that a lot of companies and a lot of executives believe that the way to sort of opt out of social media in general is just to plug their ears.
Yeah.
And pretend like none of this is happening.
You won't believe what I saw this week. I taught a class at American University, and in the textbook, they teach students that when a blogger or somebody in a community, a social network, says something negative about them, the way to handle the situation is to completely ignore it. And I died. Basically, what they're doing is creating another generation of marketers that don't understand how to handle conversational marketing. And when you think about Dell Computer and what that happened to them this week with the Business Week article and the complete reversal almost of Dell Hell to where they are now, they've gone from a one-way company to a completely community-oriented company. And they certainly learned that lesson. It just seems like companies that are savvy are doing this, and now their competitors are starting to follow. For example, with Dell, I noticed that Sony Electronics now has a blog that they launched about 3 months ago. With GM's Fastlane, now you have Chrysler and Toyota, and I think Kia now with blogs and social media efforts. So, I mean, this is becoming a situation where one company does it right, and then everybody else has to follow suit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And trust me, everybody along the way, including Dell, are going to make mistakes. I mean, trying to balance that, in terms of structured corporate communications, I mean, this is all the Wild West still, but at least people are getting it and doing the right thing. I mean, you know, to your point about, doing nothing in response to negative discussions out in the blogosphere, Jen McClure of the Society of New Communications and Research has this great slide series that she runs of shows, I think, FedEx as a corporate example of what happens when you just plug your ears and hope it goes away. And it's almost like a point-by-point piece that shows when the original complaints started to hit the blogosphere, when this one guy created a certain blog to just document all of the negativity, and then so on and so on. And there was actually financial implications for FedEx, and it resulted in a 52-week low of the stock until they were able to start dealing with it and rebound and rebuild. And it just goes to show you just can't ignore it.
There you go. Hey, let's wrap this one up by giving Jay Rosen some props. What do you think about this original blog post, the essay, People Formerly Known as the Audience?
It is the premise. I mean, that is the manifesto, really, for maybe no one has linked it to, but I would say that that is the manifesto for conversational marketing or conversations, because it really takes the premise of introducing you to the idea, or to the reality that people don't want to be marketed to anymore. They want to be reached to in a way that addresses their needs, their wants, and also, by providing them specific benefits. And those people aren't that audience any longer, right? It's all comprised of various groups of people that go to certain places for certain information in a certain way. And it's not rocket science. It's just, if you do your homework and you figure out what the market, the people within the markets are looking for, hopefully you have something that matters to them. But by taking the few extra steps to do that in advance, I mean, you're a lot better off than the way things are done today. So, kudos to Jay for doing that.
Yeah, just a phenomenal essay. I'm just going to read one of the a little bit out of it, and then we're going to let this one end. Jeff Jarvis, a former media executive, he's the guy that wrote Dell Hell, folks, has written a law about us. Give the people control of media, they will use it. The corollary, don't give the people control of media, and you will lose. And there he goes. And he really starts talking about how people can podcast and engage and comment back. And here we are with Now It's Gone, a book that helps you do that with them.